Our scene is a lonely road where we find a young man courting his girl.
Oh, gee, honey. Oh, darling, please. Listen to me, please. My last plea to you. All these years that we've known each other, it's about to... Honey, I've got to tell you what's in my heart. Honey, will you come on out from underneath the car?
Listen, somebody's got to fix this crummy jalopy or we won't get home in time to hear the Joy Boys. I can't whisper sweet nothings in your ear. If you know how to fix a car, we wouldn't be broke down like this.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Well, it's time for the Joy Boys program, this being the Tuesday night edition, and we hope you'll stick around here. We're going to have a very interesting show. Willard Scott just went out to try to write up a script, as a matter of fact. We worked sort of under the wire, but we still have crickets left over from the opening. Bobby, would you get those crickets out of there, please? All right. We like to have authenticity in our shows, you see. I mean, we don't use records. We have the real things. We have crickets and things like that. We have Bobby Shenton, who's one of our engineers today. That's right. Arthur Page.
Yeah, I'm here.
And the coveted Hugh Fazenbaker Award giver, Hugh Fazenbaker, is with us this evening also. We have an interesting program coming up for you. We're going to have The Unmentionables, the story of Elliot Mess. And we'll also have an interview with a man from the accountant firm out in Hollywood that has the secret envelopes, you know, of the Academy Awards. We still got crickets around here, don't we? And we also have Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park. Get those crickets out of here, will you? We can't get rid of it. Willard, did you write the script?
Go I went out to see. Oh, yes. Here it is. Here's your copy.
Oh, thank you. I said you were out there writing the script.
Here's a very... Oops, somebody hiccuping again.
Okay, thank you very much. Now we have a script. I think we can move along with the show. I wonder if we have an award here today.
An award today?
Yeah, we ought to.
I understand the Maryland and Virginia Milk Producers Association have just voted the Joy Boys the show with the biggest pull in radio.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah.
You don't have another, do you?
Another? Oh, another? No.
There you have it. That's called Mountain Greenery, done for you by Pete Kelly's Big Seven here on the Joy Boys.
Terrific,
isn't that nice?
Really sweet.
Yeah, that was delightful, fellas, I must say. Now, on with our first big production. Ladies and gentlemen, the National Broadcasting Company proudly presents The Adventures of Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park.
Robin Hood, riding through the glen. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, with his band of men. Feared by the bad, loved by the good. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood. Robin Hood.
Robin Hood and his band of men, brought to you by Bandolmen, the greatest name in mandolins. As our story opens, we find ourselves in Rock Creek Park. A bunch of horses are whooping it up in one of the Yukon halls.
Robin the Fink.
Who said that?
Fink.
Little John, did you say Robin the Fink?
Hey, Robin, fare me your bush. Ooh. Don't hit me like that, you crazy old robber.
Now, men, something is drastically wrong around here. All day long, we've been biting each other's head off.
I'd like that. Get your foot out of my stew.
Little John, would you kindly be quiet?
I'm sick and tired of being pushed around like this all day long.
Prior talk, did you case the next bank job?
Don't always blame it on me, Robin. It's not my responsibility. Alan Adale lays around there all day and makes those records for Coral. I don't know why you don't get him on the ball.
Dude, my heart.
Singing your brains out.
All I asked you, prior talk, was did you take care of the plans for the next robbery?
I don't know why you always blame me for things like that. It's not my responsibility. I'm not my brother's keeper. I don't know this place. I'm sick and tired of all your responsibilities.
Oh, shut up. Little John,
Don't talk to me about taking care of his responsibilities.
No, I was going to ask
you. He's not a big man. What am I, the Social Security office? You guys play your own games. I'm fed up with this operation.
This is ridiculous. I am sick and tired of this petty squabbling and bickering among my band of merry men. No longer are my men merry. Do you understand that?
That's why we're mean, miserable, and unhappy. Where's Maid Marian?
Then do you know why we're mean, miserable, and unhappy?
Why are we mean, miserable, and unhappy?
Because we're on that 900-calorie diet. We've just got to go back to eating again, men. We're biting each other's heads off, and it's no way to work.
Quick, let's get the roast pigs, the ducks, the pigs, the cows, the mooses.
Build a fire over there,
man. I want food, pie. No more 900 of you.
Part of Maid Marian was played by Miss Spooley.
I didn't say anything.
Say, that's a girl named Sue Rainey there, and the song she sang was, "If I Could Be With You 1 Hour Tonight, I Don't Think I Would."
Hey, listen, if you, I don't want to say anything, but by George, if she is the one that you want to be with, and if she is a little ways away from you by air, why don't you fly?
You belong on Granite. Hey, you belong on Granite. Fly, Granite. Fly, Granite.
Treat yourself to Brana's special kind of hospitality. Discover for yourself how much fun flying can be.
That's right. Fly Braniff International Airways. Enjoy nonstop silver service elegance to Dallas. 2 flights daily. Convenient connections for Houston and San Antonio. Remember, you belong on Braniff.
For those of you who saw the Academy Awards presented on television, you know what a great spectacle this is. Bob Hope was still the prince of comedians, and all the exciting glamour of show business in Hollywood was at its height the other evening when the great Academy Awards were presented. And in our studio today, we have a gentleman who represents the Price Waterlog firm of CPAs who handle all the tabulations of counting the votes for the various winners of the awards presented. This is Mr. Tsai.
Mr. Tsai, I'm not at liberty to give out my name, actually.
Well, I mean, we're just going to ask you your name for the interview.
Well, I'm
going to make a pretty dull interview if we don't get your name.
Well, everything I do is pretty much, secret.
Well, Mr. Tsai.
Well, you have my first name. You might as well...
Mr. Lentz?
Yes. Tsai Lentz.
Mr. Lentz, would you please...
My name.
Tell us a little bit about Price Waterlog. How does the operation work?
Well, of course, everything is very secret, and we obtain these envelopes and put them immediately in a vault.
Well, I mean, how do you decide who's going to win? I mean, who takes care of that job?
Well, I can't tell you that.
Well, where is Price Waterlog?
Well, it's in the United States.
Oh, look, let's not be cagey about this. I mean, tell us a little bit about...
All right, it's in California.
Yeah, all right, that's fine. Now, as far as the actual selection of the stars, whose job is this to do? I mean, who handles this operation?
Well, it's the job... I almost slipped there. I'm not at liberty to say whose job it is.
Would you tell us what kind of...
Under oath.
Yes, we got that. What kind of machine? Do they use an IBM machine or a machine of sorts to count and tabulate the votes, or is this done by human personnel?
I'm sorry, but I can't answer that.
Well,
I'd rather not be quoted.
Maybe you could give us a little idea. I mean, how soon before the awards are the votes tabulated?
Well, they are not too soon because we don't want any possible slippage there. We don't want anybody to...
Well, how about 3 days, 4 days?
I can't really tell you that.
Well, what kind of paper is it? Is it bonded paper or just regular?
Of course, everything we do is bonded. I'm bonded.
No, but I mean,
everybody.
What type of paper do you use?
I can't say.
Well, what kind of glue do you use on the envelope?
We don't use glue.
Well, you don't use glue?
No, we use adhesive tape to seal.
You use adhesive?
Well, you tricked me, didn't you?
What? No, he just asked
you. Tricked me into giving... they told me when I came up here that I am not supposed to say...
You just
give away any information that...
Look, wait a minute. All you told us was that they use adhesive tape instead of glue.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry.
We've been chatting with Mr. Tsai Lentz, who represents the Price Waterlog... Eddie?
I don't believe it, but
let's get out in the hall quick.
I think something's happened. Yeah, I think he did something there.
Here's our WRC Cornball of the Day.
That's our Cornball of the Day. This is a new feature we've instigated here on the Joy Boys.
You asked me, the whole show is a cornball.
Well, that's why we selected. Each day we're going to select one record that's as corny as this show and play it.
It isn't possible.
If you friends out there in Radio Land have any cornballs that you'd like to hear on this show, please write us a little card.
I got a good one. That great showman, Cohan on the telephone. He had
that's a... Cohen on the telephone.
Huh? Oh.
Yeah. Send your cards to Cornball, WRC, Washington, D.C., and tell us what records you'd like to hear. We'll play the corn records for you at this hour, right?
Okay, right.
And now, BK, the greatest name in brass knuckles, brings you The Unmentionables, a Dizzy Boo production. And now, with tonight's thrilling episode, here is our narrator, Mr. Walter Walter.
The sun was brutally hot on the evening of October 13th, 1927. Outside the Federal Building in downtown Chicago, Elliot Mess and a group of feds were waiting and watching as they had staked out the bank across the street. The State Bank of Chicago was going to be robbed, and Elliot and his federal men knew about it. $16 billion were inside that bank. As our story opens, we hear Rossi say to Elliot...
Elliot, I think we might just as well wait in the office. We still have a few minutes before the...
Keep low and don't make a move or a single sound. I think we can... I'll get that. It's probably my contact from the other side of the bank.
Okay.
Hello?
Just check over the plan.
Oh, yes, dear. Yes, darling. Well, look, we're just about right now ready to stake a raid. If you don't mind, I'll talk to you later, honey.
I only got a half a minute before we get over there to the bank.
I know, Rossi. Just a second. It's the wife. Yes, darling, I know that. I was sorry about last night. It was nothing I could do about it. You see, we were late on the job.
There's a long black car pulling up in front of the bank over there.
Absolutely nothing I could do, dear. I realize you haven't been out for 3 weeks and you need a babysitter. On my salary, I can't afford to pay anybody.
Elliot, there's three guys getting out of the car.
Look, sweetheart, I'm going to call you back just as soon as the show is over here. We've got a showdown waiting for Al Capone and the gang, so we'll do all we can. Please,
Elliot.
Yes, I know, darling, about the groceries. I plan to bring some home just as soon as I possibly can get out of here. You want a T-bone steak, right? Pound of potatoes.
Elliot, they've gone inside the bank, Elliot.
Some margarine, some broccoli, Biscayne, Impalas. No, honey, they don't sell that there. No. All right, find her. Look, sweetheart, if your mother comes over, that's fine with me. Yes, that's wonderful. We'll do all we possibly can. Yes, darling, I sure hope so, yes. Yes, we are. Look, sweetheart, I think it's... I better go, darling. Yeah, darling, I really... See, they even got the orchestra man over there. Yes, sweetheart, all right. Swell. Okay, home. First thing in the morning. Yes, darling, I love you, too. Okay, goodbye. Oh, boy.
What's the matter?
Did I get it for last night because we were late staking out this job?
You're going to get it for tonight, too.
Why's that?
They just robbed the bank and escaped with $16 million. Didn't you hear the burglar alarm and the machine guns? I kept trying to tell you, Elliot.
I thought it was the water cooler acting up again.
And so, Elliot Mess and his federal agents, because of a telephone call from Mrs. White, avoided the bank robbery that netted the Capon gang $16 million.
This has been The Unmentionable. Join us again next week for another Unmentionable, a Dizzy Boo production.
We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Methinks we put the lid on another one. We'll be back tomorrow with more.
Sound like a British garbage man.
Well, this is Ed Walker here.
Lord Scott here. The part of the telephone was played by the union executive in the show tonight. Go ahead.
This is Charles Staffer. This program is heard by our English garbage men overseas.
We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We take electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We take electrons to and fro.
Faustini gets into Patty Cavan's old love letters tonight
on NBC. Mm.
NBC in Washington, WRC and WRC FM. Now stay tuned for News of the World with Morgan Beatty, next over most of these NBC stations. Eastern Standard Time is 7:30.
Oh, my. What a nice day out there.
Really been a beautiful day, hasn't it?
Well, let's see. I see they have us in another studio this evening. It's the new modern sunken studio that we have here. You know,
they have a new sort of a split-level studio.
Yeah.
I'm going to be using it today, Studio 5.
I'm trying to figure out why they put us in a sunken studio, and the only answer I can come up with is that our rating has done the same thing.
Everything else is falling around.
Yeah.
My
so,
hair.
That's it.
Right, come on, right in here.
Is this door here?
Yeah, open the door here. Okay. No, wait a minute. Do you see what I see?
Are they fans of the show? Are they?
There's a whole studio floor covered in water, and there's ducks over there.
Look at those little ducks.
Wait a minute. KB.
You know what you want, Charlie.
Is there an explanation behind this?
Well, you see, I got these ducks for Easter, and they've just been growing so fast I don't have room at home for them, so I decided nobody ever used the studio much, so I just fill the floor full of water and let the ducks go.
Okay, well, look, KB, let me get the ducks. I'll pick them up.
You got to walk across that water. The water's deep here. I'll
go over here and I'll get this duck. There's two of them over here. It's kind of ridiculous to have this in the studio.
There's water over there.
There's one spot here, I think. Yeah. Anyway, I'll get the ducks now. Yeah, I got the ducks. I'll bring them back over here now and put them down. Let me just leave the ducks. They're quiet for a change.
Thank goodness.
Okay, now listen. I'm going to put the ducks over here in this box. KB.
Well, I'm sorry if I created a disturbance.
Yeah, well, the ducks can't stay in the studio while we're on the air, and we got to do something about getting the water off the floor of the studio here.
I'll help mop it up, but the poor ducks have got to have a home.
Well, we'll get them. We'll put them back in the engineer's lounge and put some water in the tub. Bob, would you walk over and keep the theme?
He doesn't want to walk in that water, and I can't blame him.
Okay, Bob.
Watch handling that turntable, Bob. You're not going to electrocute your neck. Put him out of the water. Lift him out of the water.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Well, this is one of the most unusual Joy Boy shows we've ever done. From knee-deep in water here in our studio, it's really quite unusual.
I can't understand, KB, why you had to bring your ducks into work here and why you had to flood the studio here.
Yeah, how was I to know that they were going to use this studio? It's been empty for years.
Well, of all the days you had to flood the studio, here we are. Eddie, would you go to, there's my cigarettes over there on the case. Would you go pick them up, please?
Roll up my pant legs. Here I go. Over here.
Yeah, they're right over there on the table.
Yeah.
Okay. Bring them back here.
There you are.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Fine. Well, our program looks very exciting.
You left the script of all the skits on the other side.
Oh,
get that duck out of here. Will you?
Quiet.
Put him back in the bag.
Come on here.
Listen, you left the script with all the skits listed on there on the other desk. Would you? You better walk over.
For heaven's sake. Let me go on across. I'll just step over here. And yeah. Oh, this is without a doubt the most. Put his head back in the box. Here's the script. Here's the script right here.
All right, now tell him what's coming up on the show this
evening. Excuse me. I knew we shouldn't have worked.
That's a death of cold there.
Coming up on our program, the Lone Arranger and Pronto will make their debut here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a book review. Mm-hmm. You know, the wonderful new book, the bestseller, The Old West.
Oh, yes.
Written by Edward Ninney.
Uh-huh. That's a good book.
Mr. Ninney will be here along with the review for the book. So we will have that. Then the Answer Man will be here. Fine.
That's good. All right. All right.
Now. Bob. Oh, we have an award?
Yeah, I think we have an award here.
Do we?
Do we have an award?
Yeah, the National Association of Penal Institutions has just voted the show the most they'd like to see behind bars.
Who asked you? I agree with the duck.
Bob, walk over and cue up the theme, will you?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to work it.
All right, Doug, you're on my team.
I don't believe it.
Play a record.
No, wait a minute. Don't play the record. Now, hold the record just a minute. This is Ed Walker here. As you probably know, our programs are on tape, and I'm cutting in live to bring you a special announcement. The show we're running today is some of the archive material of the Joy Boys. Willard wasn't here today because he was at the hospital while his wife, Mary, gave birth to an 8-pound, 2-ounce baby girl named Mary Phillips Scott. And we're all real tickled to death. We have a new member of the Joy Boys family, and obviously Willard isn't here. He hasn't come down to Earth yet. He's still orbiting around there someplace like a satellite. But we hope to have him back tomorrow, and we're just tickled to death. Mother and daughter doing fine. And I guess Willard is in pretty good shape. We'll find out and let you know more about that later. And she is in Columbia Hospital, and so is the baby. Willard's liable to end up there, too, before the whole thing is over. But we're real happy about having a new member of the Joy Boys family. A Joy Girl, she is. And little Mary Scott is listening to the Joy Boys show for the first time tonight. And, honey, I hope you like the show. Not even 12 years old, and she's a critic already. All right, honey. Give her a bottle or something. Will you give her something here? Really, we're really very happy, Willard. No kidding.
You belong on Brannock. Say, you belong on Brannock. By Brannock. By Brannock.
Treat yourself to Brannock's special kind of hospitality. Discover for yourself how much fun flying can be.
Fly Braniff International Airways. Enjoy nonstop silver service elegance to Dallas. 2 flights daily. Convenient connections for Houston and San Antonio. Remember, you belong on Braniff.
Oh, platinum! Away!
General Thrills, makers of Feedies, the greatest name in stretch socks, brings you another exciting episode of the Lone Ranger, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, who brought with him law, justice, and the American way of life.
As our story opens, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains and his faithful Indian companion, Tonto, are somewhere in Rock Creek Park, apparently trying to fix the fire on an annual Lone Ranger picnic. As the masked rider of the plains says...
Well, Pronto, remember our picnics used to be bigger than this, and we had our whole cast and all of our sponsors. And now there's no one left but you and I. And me.
Hard time set in, Kimo Sadri.
Yeah.
You must pull in belt. Oh, me not hungry.
Not too tight, Pronto.
No.
Well, Pronto... We can reminisce by eating our picnic lunch and listening to tapes of our old shows. How wonderful afternoon.
They still play a show in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Their 250 water station down there. Him, good manager, him, old fan of show. Him.
Yes, but they play it at 3 a.m. in the morning.
That's not point, Kima Sloppy. We still get royalties. That's all count. How you think we get them hot dogs?
Yes.
No payola on this show, Kimo Sloppy.
Speaking of the hot dogs, Pronto, let's try to get that fire going over there.
Me, use old have, Indian match.
You have matches?
Yeah, me. Put fire.
Seems to be in trouble, Pronto.
That means saying, don't I eat all. He's saying he's swearing Indian.
Don't do that. This is a family show, Pronto.
No, nobody knows Indian.
I think your matches are wet, and they will not strike, Pronto.
Dead red matches.
Try my cigarette lighter.
Okay.
Don't blab it around. We don't want the listeners of the show to know that the Lone Ranger smokes.
I knew you had yellow between your finger for some reason, Fat Man.
That doesn't work either, Pronto.
Doggone, Masked Man.
Pronto, I have an idea.
What Here's we do... What we'll wait do. A minute, will you? Oh. What we do now, Kimo's Lobby?
Here's what we'll do. We'll go to the...
Near jump you, too.
Meanwhile, it is 2 hours later, the daring and resourceful last rider of the plains and his faithful Indian companion, Pronto, are inside their 1947 automobile, apparently eating some hot dogs. Let's see what's taking place, as the masked man says.
Pronto, these hot dogs are delicious.
Hot dogs, plenty good, Kimo Sabe. Except one thing bother me, fat man.
What's that, Pronto?
Hot dog cooked very good on each end, but middle of hot dog raw.
Well,
Lovey, why?
Oh, what do you expect? We couldn't get the fire going, and the only thing we had to use was the cigarette lighter in the car. And you can only get the hot dog in so far in the lighter, and that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Oh, you plenty smart, fat man.
The Lone Ranger is a copywritten feature of General Thrills, also by Campbell Trimble, Mendel's Guild. Part of Lone Ranger is played by Fred Spade. Your announcer is Ray Swamwam.
Portions of the preceding program were technically augmented in Poolsville.
That was Frank Sinatra. Let's get away from it all. Ladies and gentlemen, we are pleased to have with us in our studio this evening a gentleman who is well known in the literary world, whose latest book has just made the top 10 bestseller fictional nonfiction list. The man to whom I'm referring is Mr. Edward Nenny. His book is entitled The Old West, and today, with a great deal of interest centered on the Old West, not only in television but in frequent periodicals and publications, this book is most timely and most provocative. We are going to attempt to review Mr. Nenny's book. First of all, Mr. Nenny.
Yes.
Welcome to our microphone.
Thank you very much, sir. It's are you Mr. Walker or Mr. Scott?
I'm Mr. Scott. That's Mr. Walker.
Yes, oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you very much, gentlemen.
You're welcome, sir. Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you. By the way, can I have a glass of water, please?
Just scoop up plenty. There's plenty on the floor.
I noticed that duck in here a while ago. Yes. All right. Fine.
That's right.
You were asking?
Yeah, I was going to say, you, I understand, come from a long line of ninnies. Is that right?
Yes, I certainly do.
You're one of the biggest ninnies in this country, according to our...
How do you mean that?
Well, I mean that your family is sort of along with the...
my
the
family.
The Fremonts and all the big names in this country.
Oh, yes, of course. My family...
Didn't you come over on the Mayflower?
That's right. There were a lot of ninnies came over here on the Mayflower. Let's face it, the service was bad, and no diners club, and things were kind of rough in those days.
Mr. Nenny, let's just...
Oh, go ahead. You were going to review my book.
Mr. Nenny?
Huh?
Mr. Nenny, please. Mr. Nenny, The Old West is a very provocative book nowadays. May I, first of all, call to the attention of our listeners the fact that Chapter 14 deals with...
14.
Chapter 14, don't you remember?
I'm not too familiar with it.
Haven't you read it yet?
I write in my sleep, you see.
Chapter 14 deals with the settling of the Middle Western states, namely Kansas.
Got it.
In that Chapter 14, you compare Bat Masterson to Wyatt Earp.
I certainly do, yes.
Much criticism has been given you, sir, because you gave Wyatt Earp top billing over Bat Masterson.
Why not? Why shouldn't I give him top billing? Now, don't you remember, sir, that at one time, Bat Masterson was Wyatt Earp's assistant?
But, Mr. Nenny...
on his television show that way.
May I call your attention, page 28 here, the third line at the top. You refer to Mr. Masterson as a fink. Don't you feel this is a little harsh?
Possibly so, but you've got to take this into consideration when you're writing a book. It shows you don't know anything about the printing business. We only had enough line space left for a four-letter word, and I tried to find the best four-letter word to describe Bat Masterson.
But fink.
And fink, that's it.
Fink is a little harsh to describe
Bat Masterson. Well, it just seemed to fit the meter.
Couldn't
of the,
you use some other word?
I could have, but I chose fink, and I don't think it's any of your business.
But
I'm the author here.
But it just seems to me that being a Bat Masterson fan, I think that you chose poorly when you use...
You're partial, let's face it.
I am partial.
You're partial.
Too partial, yes.
I came in down
but
here.
I can't understand
to write this book, Charlie. Would you let me talk
for
a minute?
This is our show.
This is my book.
I'm sorry, Mr. Nenny. I don't care what you say. Come here. Let me take that book of yours.
I'll show you how to fight Western style. Don't you tear my book?
There you go. As far as I'm concerned, from what I think of your book, from what I think of the whole outfit around here, I'm sick and tired. Say I can't stand it. One of you high class New York publishers coming down here to take your book and re-glue it.
Hey, Wes. What happened in here?
Sorry, Mr. Anson.
Holy mackerel.
They're floating ducks in the studio over there.
Okay, let me... Hey, yeah. I guess this is...
Here, don't touch the microphone, sir. I told you not to touch the microphone.
Oh, wow.
You act as a conduit.
You can't do it.
I can do it if I try.
You can do it. You can do it.
Stand by, and we got to do a show here.
Cue the answer, man.
Yes, the Trail of the Lonesome Pine is part of a new route developed by the 3A's to St. Louis.
No, Indian Madras is not something an Indian sleeps on.
Yes, Wild and Woolly is the name of a manufacturing company that used to manufacture long winter underwear.
No, the song Hard-Hearted Hannah was not written about a petrified woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's time once more for radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man. Now in its 84th year. Each week at this time, the Answer Man answers the questions you, the radio listeners, have sent to him. Now, here is the Answer Man.
Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hello there, Willard Scott. Good to be back with you again and answering your questions out there.
Excuse me, I had a mint in my mouth, Mr. Answer Man.
Oh, I see. Now, would you get to our first question, please?
Very good, sir. Nelson Popover from Potomac writes, Who were the first people to discover the Chesapeake Bay and use it commercially?
I think you'd find that's an advertising agency in some brewery over in Baltimore. They got a cute jingle, and boy, they've just about milked the bay dry there.
A bachelor button from Chevy Chase.
What?
That's Arthur Bachelor Button from Chevy Chase.
I see. I didn't understand.
Asks the question, how much is that St. Bernard in the window?
Well, that all depends on his pedigree and everything else. Probably a couple of $100, but I can get it for you wholesale.
A fireman from Alexandria writes, who removed the middle section from the emergency fire pole in the firehouse last week? I might add, this comes from the hospital in Alexandria.
I don't know who did that, but whoever it was pretty sneaky, I must say.
Finally, this question from a listener in Bethesda. Dear Mr. Answer Man, if you don't send me my alimony check before next week, I'm going to have to get my lawyer
out. You stop reading that?
Oh, I'm on.
My wife. I'm getting out of here.
And here she comes now. I think you better.
I'm on my way. Yeah. Come on, everybody.
You've been listening to radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man. If you have any questions for which you'd like the answers, simply address a card or letter to The Answer Man, WRC Radio, Red Square, Heartburn 2, Virginia, along with $635 to cover the cost of handling and mailing. Be with us again next week when once more we'll present The Answer Man.
Billy Butterfield and Ray Conniff there, and Can't We Be Friends?
I doubt it very seriously. You still owe me $5 from last month.
Pardon me. Well, fellas, I'm going to take him on home with me now.
Yeah, well, KB,
my wife heard the show and she left me, so I got room at home for the dust.
Well, that's the same thing, one for another there.
Boys of radio, we chase electrons to and fro. Boys of radio, we are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Okay, that just about does it for the Joy Boys for today. This is Ed Walker here.
Four down and six to go. That's a duck joke. Down, get it?
Right, yeah, that get was it? Willard Scott.
I'm sorry.
Bobby Shenton. You're long, fellas. K.B. Williams.
Who's on the board today?
Arthur Simmons.
Arthur Simmons. Oh, out there.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Tonight they drain the studio 5 here at NBC Radio. Very good. As the second vice president of the club, I will now call this evening's session into order. Hear ye, all faithful fans of the Joy Boys. Please gather around the radio at 7:05. Time for Walker and Scott.
Thank you very much.
And Bobby Shenton, the engineer. Arthur Page, the technical supervisor. And what is...
Chair right here, Mr. Squad.
What's coming in the studio? I mean, who's coming in the studio?
This is our safety expert, Willard. You've met him before. He's been here on occasions. Mr. Rex Squad.
Mr. Rex Squad.
Good evening.
How are you doing, sir?
Thank you,
nice
Scott. Good to be back with you again.
Nice grip you have there, sir.
Oh, you like my briefcase, huh?
No, I mean your hands.
Oh, yes. I have an errand of goodwill this evening here.
Fine, Mr. Squad. Have you brought us a safety announcement for the day?
Better than that, I have brought you an award.
An award, Mr. Squad?
Your building speaks for itself, and it is my pleasure.
Very clever. I think it does, yes.
Yes, it does. A radio station. Anyway, I have the pleasant duty of awarding you this plaque, which has been specially made to be nailed up on the wall of this studio here.
Wonderful.
As a symbol of the safety, the care of the construction of this building.
Well, on behalf of the management and staff of NBC in Washington, WRCAM-FM and television,
I would like to thank you, sir, for bringing this beautiful plaque to our studio.
Certainly do. Well, it's a pleasure. It's all ours, believe me. And if you have a hammer and nails here, I would like to do the honors right on
you. You sent
the
letter to us last week, so we did prepare.
Thank
we
you.
Have the hammer and the nails right here, sir.
Now then, if you'll just excuse me a minute, whereabouts would you like me to...
hang it over on the center of the wall there between the control room and the door.
Certainly is nice when a building is sturdy like this one.
All right.
Credit to the city, to the area, the community of which you are... Something fell off there. You are a part of... watch it. That was a little shaky there. Let's see. Get it straight. Is the plaque straight there? One more nail ought to just about do it. All right. Here we go.
Mr.
Something. Evidently, the plaster fell out of the wall.
We should have gotten one of those stud finders and found where the beam was.
If you don't mind, I'm going to take this plaque back. I mean, I can't.
It's your prerogative.
I can't leave it in a place like this.
The Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
One more thing, fellas.
Yes, Mr. Squad?
If the termites ever quit holding hands in this place, I'm sure it would collapse.
Yeah. Don't slam the door so hard when you leave.
Yeah, Mr. Squad, for goodness sake here. Well, this is the Joy Boys program for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night.
Why'd you cut me off in the middle of my...
Excuse me, I didn't mean to.
You're
sitting across the table from me is the proud papa.
Thank you.
Willard, how do you feel?
Nervous, jerky. I think I'll get rid of my nervousness, though.
Yeah, you've always been jerky. I've noticed that. And we have our usual staff of engineers. Bobby, the mystery man.
Yeah.
And Arthur Page.
Yeah.
So it looks like a pretty exciting show. By the way, I got some cigars.
Really?
Hey. Well, you know, I figured that it's a traditional thing, and it was started by Robert Burns, I think, when he wrote to Wee Mousy.
It's a girl written on there.
It's because we had a little girl.
You fellas want to come in and get a cigar?
Bobby, Mystery Man, Art.
Come on in, boys.
Yeah. Travis Regal. All you guys, come on in. There you go. Yeah, fellas.
Not me. I'm just turned
Perky. NBC Page. Here you go, Perk.
Have one of these.
Hey. The Telefana here. They're really good.
Hey,
they're just
very nice.
White fowl. I got them from the sponsor. Up on the,
that's right. Anybody else? Didn't get one?
Hey, Bobby, here's yours. Art?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, yeah. Art. Rex, here, Rex. Help yourself.
Oh, thank you. I think you'd give me one after the...
Well, we don't care.
All right, boys. Let's all light up. What do you say?
Okay.
Enjoy a nice smoke here.
Well, pretty good, I think. I'll have one myself. What is it? Don't cough. It's a good cigar.
Can you afford more than that, Scott? I mean...
They're good cigars.
Ow! Whoops. Ow! Ooh. Ow! Ooh. Ow! Ooh. Ow! Ooh. Ow! 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 Ow!
Ding, ding, follow up.
I don't want to say anything, but that's a pretty dirty trick. There were bad cigars in the first place, and on top of everything else, they were... They were loaded.
I wondered why Pick Temple sent those to me.
Ow!
Hey, there you go. Paul Whiteman of the orchestra and the Georgia Camp Meet and Cakewalk. You warming up your motors? Okay. You know where you belong, don't you?
You belong on Granite. Hey, you belong on Granite. My Granite. My Granite.
Treat yourself to Braniff's special kind of hospitality. Discover for yourself how much fun flying can be.
That's right. Fly Braniff International Airways. Enjoy nonstop silver service elegance to Dallas. Two flights daily. They're warming up there. Convenient departures and connections for Houston and San Antonio. Remember, you belong on Braniff.
It might be you, Mrs. Robert Shenton of Bethesda, Maryland. It might be you, Mrs. George Brewington of Fairfax, Virginia. Or it might be you, Mrs. Arthur Page of Washington, D.C. From Hollywood, California, the National Broadcasting Company brings you that exciting program about people and places. It might be you. And now here is your It Might Be You Master of Ceremonies, Mr. Bill Layoff. Bill, here! Bill!
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you might be. It might be you there. And here we are again in our Might Be You studios in Hollywood, California, and we're going to find out today whom we could talk to. There's a little thing that happened this morning in the newspaper, perhaps you saw it, about the man who had been missing from his home for 3 days, who lived out in Arlington, Virginia. That man actually had been thought to be missing, but he hadn't been missing. He's been on our staff, and he's brought some little trinkets here to the studio. It might be you, Mrs. Lyndon Walker of Arlington, Virginia. Camera zoomed in. Get the page over here, please. Would you come here?
Yes, sir.
There's nobody in that seat down there.
I'm sorry. We had it prearranged when we did the show, but evidently
the Zoomer got a shot of the seat. There's a big hole in the seat back there.
Well, I think she was uncomfortable and left the studio and went over to another show. I'm sorry. Better move on. Move on to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we told you earlier, Mrs. Lyndon Walker's husband had been missing for 3 days. The story was in the newspaper. Everything was done to confuse Mrs. Walker into believing that something had happened. But, of course, only our team of experts had been out trying to gather information, our little group of spies, to find out things.
Excuse me, Bill. Our staff has been checking on this thing, and we found out that Mrs. Lyndon Walker's husband is actually missing, and that's why Mrs. Lyndon Walker isn't here right now.
Darn.
She's gone to the police.
Oh, well, that sort of explains that.
Yes.
Ladies, let's move on to our next one then and see what we can find out now. There's a thing in my hand over here. Perhaps you see it. It's a rolling pin. Do you see this, ladies? It's a rolling pin over here. This rolling pin belongs to one of you out there, and you've used this rolling pin before. It could be you, Mrs. Maddie Matlock.
This is Thelma Matlock from Cherrydale, Ontario.
You are Mrs. Maddie Matlock from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Oh, is that right?
I think, let me get the page. Page?
Excuse me, yes. What is it?
You got the wrong name there.
Oh, that's Matlock there.
There are two Matlocks.
Evidently, there are.
Look at your record.
This is Mrs. Thelma.
No, Miss Maddie.
Oh, you want Miss Maddie there.
Yeah, let's try.
Well, what do I win for this?
Oh, here, Miss Matlock, is my stopwatch.
Thank
here.
You.
Use
thanks
this.
A lot.
See if the show comes
thank
on.
Thank you very
okay.
Much.
Here we, go. Now let's continue. We're getting a little late here. I see my... look, Mr. Matlock, I see the stopwatch.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
We're getting a little late. All right, let's try it again. It could be you, Mrs. Maddie Matlock. Here. Thank you. I think we, ladies and gentlemen, I think we have a little trouble. Miss Matlock is up in the balcony. Would you fellas try to bring Miss Matlock down here?
You watch out where you're going,
lady. Move your
fingers.
Ow, I have a chance.
You just can't get up, man.
I'm going to make
walking all over me here.
I'm trying to get up on the
stage. We're trying to get Miss Matlock. Come on, Miss Matlock. Time is running out. Time is running out. It could be you. Maybe tomorrow it'll be you, Mrs. Betty Matlock. Now, here's my announcer, Don Parton.
There you have it. It might be you. So join us again tomorrow when we might have a new MC because Bill Layoff is going to get laid off.
While you're sitting there at home scratching the back of your head trying to figure out why you're listening to this program, here's our WRC Cornball Record of the Week. Roses are red, violets are blue. Miss Janitor's coming on, and I'm certain someone's bound to sue. Stepping out of her glass booth here, very scantily clad, I might add to that. Oh, Miss Janitor.
Tripped over that man's kiln.
You tripped over the kiln. Did you burn your knees?
I think so.
Yeah, here, let me help you up. There we go, honey.
All right.
Aren't you going to catch pneumonia? You're wearing Bermuda shorts or something today. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Washington's own weather girl, with a smile on her face from ear to ear and a little peeling around her forehead, Miss Janitor.
Bikini bathing suit. Beach towel. Blanket. Suntan oil. Transistor radio. Water wings. Beach ball. Thermos jug. Picnic hamper. There you are.
Would you mind explaining to us, nature girl, what on earth you're doing and what is all this junk you brought in the studio?
The weather was so nice yesterday and today that I decided to go to the beach early this year.
You mean you went down to the beach?
Yes, for a slight swim.
Miss Janitor, this is what they call pneumonia weather. Don't you realize you can catch your death of cold?
Almost 70 degrees.
I know, but you ought to have more sense than... Oh.
Excuse me.
Miss Janitor.
I thought it was...
Oh, dear. Look, Miss Janitor, you're... You blew the... Miss Janitor, why don't you just leave the studio? Miss Janitor. Miss Janitor. That was Miss Janitor, ladies and gentlemen. Be listening again next week when once again... From the hospital, we'll be bringing you Miss Janitor. Good night.
All this wonderful entertainment is coming your way, as per usual, over the Joy Boys program with Scott and Walker from your NBC stations in Washington, WRC and WRC-FM. We're heard overseas.
Northwest on MacArthur Boulevard come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Platinum. With a cloud of dust and a haughty high host Lobber, the sodbuster rides again. Nowhere in the pages of history can you find a greater canteen of justice. A more fearless, hard-riding, straight-shooting, beer-drinking, peace-eating son of the sod. It's the sodbuster. Sod Buster was a true gentleman of the old school. Men feared him, little children respected him, women loved him, a true gentleman of the West.
Sorry, ma'am.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear as we find roaming about the wild badlands of the West, the Sod Buster. U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard and his faithful sidekick, Chester Drawer.
Come here, Chester.
Yes, Mr. Dillard. Oh, Marshal, you kicked me right in the side.
In and around the territory of Hyattsville, on beyond Tacoma Park and Wheaton Plaza, rode the sodbuster and Chester Drawers. There was only one way to handle the spoilers and lawmen of the Old West, and that was the smell of pipe smoke and the sodbuster. Our scene inside the Red Dog Saloon. The sodbuster, U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard, is standing over by the roulette wheel. Chester Drawers, his sidekick, is tending bar. Let's join them as the sodbuster speaks to Chester.
Chester, don't be nervous now. Just because Sam is out of town today, he wants you to tend bar, and I'm sure you'll do a good job, all right?
Well, sir, Lordy, Marshal, I ain't never been a barkeep before. I ain't too sharp at this job.
You'll be all right. I'm going on over
a little more.
Play some poker. Oh, here comes a customer, Chester. Oh,
all right, Marshal.
Howdy, Chester. How are you, boy?
Howdy, Roy. What can I do for you?
Give me a nice fresh hamburger, will you, Chester?
Fresh hamburger coming up. Well, sir, I take care of that. It'll be a few minutes, Roy, while they get her fixed.
That's
up.
A fresh hamburger? Oh, my goodness, Chester. I think I want to take my business elsewhere here.
Well, I'm sorry. No sale on that one. Well.
Who's your barkeep?
Yes, sir. What'll be your pleasure?
Draw one, will you?
All righty. I hate to do it. You seem like such a nice fellow, but here goes. Hip. Oh. I hate
Chester.
To do
it. Chester!
Marshal, he
what'd
said...
What'd you shoot that man for, Chester?
He said, draw one, and when somebody says, draw one to Chester Drawers, I draw him right
Chester.
Between the eye.
Listen, Chester, there's a lot of things you got to learn about being a barkeep. When they say, draw one, what he means is he wants you to draw one, give him a beer. draw one from the keg, don't you see?
Oh, Marshal, see if that fella's all right. Sorry. Well, I know now, Marshal. Thank you for telling me. I won't make a mistake the next time.
Good thing I didn't bring my diner's club.
Chester, next time a man comes in and says that, now you just draw him one, you hear?
All right. Back over. Proud to know it, Marshal. All right, I will this time. I wish I could keep my...
Hey, come here, Buckheap.
Why, yes, sir. What'll be your pleasure, please?
I don't like your looks. I want you to draw.
All right, sir. Just a moment here.
I said draw.
Oh, you got me right in my beer mug. Oh, why'd you shoot me? I thought you wanted me to draw you a beer.
I didn't say draw one. I said draw. There's a big difference.
Marshal, I ain't never going to learn this business. Get me to the Red Cross, won't you?
Let's close up the bar, Chester. I think we've done enough damage for one day.
The Sodbuster is written by Moby Dick, produced by the NBC News Department on the weekends, directed by Horace Opera. The entire production is supervised for NBC Radio by Billy the Kid. This has been a Saddle Sore production.
Electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We take electrons to and fro.
I see that just about does it for the joy boys for this evening. Thanks to you and those cheap cigars. We'll see you tomorrow, Willard.
Thanks a lot, Manny. Tell all the other gang hello for me. It's been wonderful. Thanks to be back again. And thanks to Charles Staffer.
And I want to remind you that this program is being heard by our armed forces overseas. Don't I rate a cigar, Scott? I mean, after all.
Here, have one.
We are the joy boys of radio. We take electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We take electrons to and fro.
Willard Scott feeds his new baby for the first time tonight on NBC.
Nice baby. Nice baby.